Okay, Chevra, we're up to Simen Tzadi Aleph, Sif Aleph through Dalet. I hope everyone, I think it looks like everyone did get up the Dalet by today. And Be'ez Hashem, you should wrap up Simen Tzadi Aleph by the end of next week. And we'll start Tzadi Beis, which is really an extension of what we did in Elzman. So, let's discuss Basar B'Cholav. Now we're finally starting the Simanim Shulchan Aruch. As many of you have seen, I gave out Tur Beis Yosef Mar Makomos for anyone who wants to first do the Tur Beis Yosef or the guided Mar Makomos or Tur Beis Yosef. And anyone who has questions on the Beis Yosef, see the Beis Yosef, Yosef Kohen Melamed. And then, Keseder, you should be doing Mechaber, Ramah, Shach, and Tazes. If you have time, Primogadams are very, very good in terms of just answering basic questions. You don't have to do every Primogadam, obviously. But questions that you have are usually found in the Primogadam. So feel free to do it. And Be'ez Hashem, after every single simon, there will be a nice light quiz for you to do. Open book. This way we can just spot check each other, mechadid each other. If you get it wrong, we can fight with each other. It's not held against you, but it's important to take those quizzes after each one. This way you can come out with a clarkite in each simon. Okay? What? You do close book, but there's no money involved. So, okay. So, Simen Tzadi Aleph. What? You're bragging rights. I will mention your name at the beginning of the next two shiurim if you get 10 out of 10. Okay. Very good. Olna and Yodeh Talif. Okay, so now. So, Tzadi Aleph, for those who did Taroves, is really a corollary to Simen Kuf Hei and Taroves. But even if you didn't do Taroves, Simen Tzadi Aleph is basically the ABCs for the different methods for how Basar and Cholav impact on one another when they are interacting with one another. So there are three ofanim that we are going to discuss today. We're going to discuss Tzonin B'Tzonin, Cham B'Cham, and then, of course, Cham B'Tzonin, Tzonin B'Cham. Those are going to be the three ofanim for how Basar and Cholav interact, and we have to don up what exactly is the halacha in each situation. So let's start with the most basic halacha. No fancy halacha here, just a straightaway halacha. The first ofen in which Basar and Cholav can impact on one another, let's say Basar and Gvina, is Tzonin B'Tzonin. If you have two items, Basar and Tzonin, which Basar and Gvina, which are cold, the Mishnah Kuf Zayin, Chulin Kuf Zayin of Beis tells us that you're allowed to wrap Basar and Gvina together in one mitzpachat, but you have to ensure that they don't touch one another. Yeah, you got a spot? Let me make sure you got it. Okay. Yeah, good. Beezy, you got this. Who needs wheels? Just carry it. Okay. The first ofed is Basar and Gvina touching together. Tzonin B'Tzonin. It says in the Mishnah Chulin Kuf Zayin Beis that you're allowed to wrap Basar and Gvina together, but make sure, and you can use your creativity, make sure that you don't have them touch one another. Says the Gemara, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? It's Tzonin B'Tzonin. What's the issue of having Basar and Gvina touch one another? Says Abaye, it's true that bliyas don't transfer when we're talking about cold. Tzonin B'Tzonin. But nahi deklipa lo bai, but hadacha mi lo bai. Of course, there's a chiyuv of hadacha, because when tzonin b'tzonin basar v'chalav basar v'gvina touch one another, there's going to be a surface contact of each other to each other, and there's going to be residual shamnunis, residual residue that is going back and forth, just mamish on the surface layer. So a person is mechuyev to do hadacha. Some say shifshuf, but at least you have to do hadacha to rinse off any mamashas that is on the basar, and any mamashas that's on the gvina. That's tzonin b'tzonin, straight away, straightforward halacha. Tzonin b'tzonin, you have a chiyuv hadacha. What about cham b'cham, basar and chalav, that are all hot? So the Gemara Mishnah Chulin Tarivav and Beis Rei tells us that this is one of the methods for how bliyas transfer. That if you have cham b'cham, and let's say we're assuming with liquid medium, so you have a classic case of bishul. If you have basar that is being cooked with chalav in a kli rishon on the fire, so this is classic bishul. Rashi spells out on the Mishnah and on the Gemara there that the bishul of cham b'cham, of basar and chalav, will allow the bliyas, the inner bliyas of the basar, the inner bliyas of the chalav, to transmit and transfer to each other. Bikulo. It will permeate the entire content of each other. That's havaras tam al yidei cham b'cham, cham, regular cham, bishul. We can do it through Bishul. You can do it through Tzli. Bishul will go Bikulo. Tzli will go Benetila. But Al Kopanim, whenever you have heat, whenever you have the requisite heat, you have Bliyas of Isser, Bliyas of Chalav, Basar, and Chalav transferring one to another. By Bishul, it's Bikulo. We're going to assume Bishul for the entire shear. Okay? You have liquid medium. The big question becomes, and this is the Gemara Msach and Ayin Hayam Abayz, the Gemara Msachim qualifies. That was by Tzonin Betzonin, Hadacha. Cham Becham is Bishul, let's say, Bikulo. What about a clash? What if you have Basar and Chalav that have clashing temperatures, clashing features? One of them is Cham, which, to make it simple, we'll call the Basar the Cham one. Usually steak is hot and nice, so we'll make the Basar the Cham one, that'll be easier, and the Chalav is cold. Or, and now the question becomes, how do you don up this situation? Do you have the requisite heat for the bliyas to transfer? Avada, avada, you're going to have to do hadacha. They're touching one another. But what do you do if you have clashing features? This is the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav holds that whenever you have clashing features of cham and sonin, the buster is cham in this case, the chalav is sonin, we always operate with ilah gavar. The elyon, the top food entity, is going to dominate and be koveya whether or not there is heat in the situation. And therefore, says Rav, if the elyon is cham and the bottom one is sonin, so the elyon is minatzeach, as Rashi says, it's gover, it dominates, and we do have the requisite heat, and bliyas will transfer and it'll be iser bekulo. However, if the elyon is sonin, if its elyon is cold, that will dominate the situation, that will be kovea that there is no requisite heat, and no bliyas will transfer. All you'll have is maybe a hadacha, maybe a little bit more, you'll have a klipa, based on the chumrah of Adramekala Balab Klipa, but in terms of the full extent of Kulo, you will not have. And that's Rav's Shita right over here. If you have Cham over Tzonin and Tzonin over Cham, you always go by Ilah Gavar. If the Tzonin is on top, that wins. There's no requisite heat. If the Cham is on top, then there is the requisite heat, and the Bliyas will transfer one to another. And then I gave you a little bit of a diagram on top. Basar and Chalav, the Chalav and Basar over here, just to make it easy to visualize. That's Rav's Shita. Okay? Comes along Shmuel. And Shmuel argues, Shmuel says, no, not so fast. We don't operate with Ila Gavar. Rather, we operate with Tata Gavar. I heard a Rav say Sasa Gavar. I'm not sure. I think it's Tata Gavar. I'm going with Tata and Thuf and Temanim say Tata Gavar, right? Thank you, Rishi. No, both the guess, right? I would also assume.
Whatever planet you're from is Tata.
Right, or, yeah, okay, fine. So the Tata Gavar. So says Shmuel, we operate with Tata Gavar. And as to whether or not you have the requisite heat, that's very important. The Shaila of Rav and Shmuel is whether or not you have heat to begin with. Do you have heat to begin with? Says Shmuel, we operate with Tata Gavar. And if the bottom one is hot, that's Koveya that you do have the requisite heat. If the bottom one is cold, that's Koveya that you do not have the requisite heat. And no bliyas will transfer, and that's Shmuel Shita. We always operate with the bottom entity. If the bottom one is cold, there's no requisite heat. If the bottom one is hot, there is requisite heat, and therefore bliyas will transfer. This is the setup, the factual setup of just the Amorayim. So the Rishonim are bothered, they're struggling. What exactly is the basis for Shmuel Shita? We'll get back to Rav in a second, but let's discuss Shmuel. What is Shmuel holding when he says that we operate with Tata Gavar? That we go with the bottom piece. What unique feature does the bottom entity of food have such that whatever temperature it has, if it's sonin, it'll dominate and say there's no heat. If it's cham, it'll be koveya that there is heat. What precise feature does the tachton have such that it always dominates? What's so special about the tachton? Adarabah. The elyon is always the menatzeach. Shamayim. The elyon is always on top. Significant with the tachton. So this is subject to a machlokes rishonim. Two approaches. Approach one is going to be the iser v'heter, who is going to give two basic tamim, which we're all going to put under one umbrella, the iser v'heter, and then we have the shita of the Rashba. Approach two will be the shita sarashba. Iser v'heter says what I guess most Balabatim will say in a very natural sense. Tom, this is actually his Tom Shane. So maybe that's why, I don't know. His Tam Rishon, so to speak, the first one we're going to say, this Rehatcher says, is that this is based on the nature of heat. The basic, you can ask your local scientist, but the basic, what?
Heat rises.
Heat rises. So, says this Rehatcher, the nature of heat is such that heat always rises. So if the Tachton is hot, that heat will naturally, the Teva, the Chamimus of that heat, will rise, heat up the Elyon, and dominate, and tell us that we do have heat and transfer of Bliyas. But if the bottom one is cold, and the top one is hot, so the top one is hot, it's going up to Shemayim as much as it wants, but it's not impacting on the one below, so you're back to default, you have no heat, you have no requisite heat, you're back to cold. So, says the Issur Behetor in his first Tam, very simple, it's based, Shmuel's Shita is predicated on how heat travels. Heat naturally rises. The top one is chum. You have the heat operating and impacting on the top one. Therefore, you have the heat. Mashiach, if the bottom one is cold, there's no heat to be supplied. The top one is only going up to the top. It's not impacting on the one below.
So even if the top one's hot, it can't be mavli anything? It can't be mavli?
No, because the heat rises. You don't even have heat. The heat is not even in
the
cheshvan.
It's in the top piece, doesn't send out bleas. Washing the top piece, which is hot, send out bleas.
You're already discussing the bleas. Do we even have requisite heat here?
Oh,
we don't even have requisite heat here to even discuss the Blias.
Yeah.
That's Issur Behetor's first Tam, the way we're doing it. The second Tam, which the Issur Behetor mentions, is a different unique feature that the Tachton has. Nothing to do with heat rising, but rather, whenever you have an upper piece and a lower piece, naturally there's going to be a certain amount of pressure, a certain amount of weight, that the busser or seach or the busser is having on the chalav or vice versa. And so whatever's pressuring the bottom or putting weight on the bottom will cause the bottom one to release the temperature that it has. So says the Issur Behetor, if the top one is cham, and the cham is now putting pressure on the tachton, which is tzonin, it'll release its coolness and there will not be any requisite heat. Mashiach, on the flip side, if the top one is cold and it's applying pressure on the tachton, which is hot, that'll release the tachton's chamimus and supply the requisite heat that we have for the bleas to transfer. So according to the Issur Behetor, the second reason, it has nothing to do with the way heat travels, but it has to do with the way the pressure of the elyon has onto the tachton. Since the tachton is the one who's receiving the pressure and the weight from the elyon, it will be the one to release whatever components or features that it has, whether it's cham or whether it's sonim. These are the two basic reasons of the Issur Behetor. This is just descriptive right now, factual. Yes, Yosef.
Can't I say, in the first reason at least, that when eventually a piece of meat, right, eventually it'll fall to the floor, it'll be very hot, and it'll go into the mixture.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second. We'll hold up on that. Right now, we're assuming it just goes right on top. Nothing goes underneath.
Really?
Yeah, hold up. Yeah, just on the surface. Basar osev, on milk. Not going, nothing's being submerged. Hold off on that. That's the Rashba.
Oh, that's what I understand.
Hold up on that. Yes, Arar? No, not you? Try. Shia?
No.
Okay, good. That was all approach one, the Issur Behetor. Two different features that the Tachton, the reason why the Tachton dominates over the Elyon. Comes along the Rashba, and he's bothered by the following kasha in the Gemara later on. And because of that kasha, he has to introduce a totally new feature that the Tachton has in order to explain why the Tachton always is koveya, always dominates. The Gemara later on, Ayin Vav Msachim, brings down a case of a bar guzla, a pigeon, a chicken, that falls into a dairy dip. Right over here, falls into a dairy dip, a kamcha. Now, the way the Rashba understands the Gemara, that's an important line I just said, the way the Rashba understands the Gemara is that the Gemara says that if the bar guzla is tzli, it's hot, it's currently hot, then when it falls into this dairy dip, it will only be a klipa. It won't be more than a klipa because, he says, we paskin like Shmuel, and since the top one is hot and it's falling onto the tachton, the dairy dip, the tachton is chalav, which is tzonin. So the tachton is gover, it's menatzeach. You don't have heat, so you don't have bikula. That's what the Gemara says, the feed understanding of the Rashba. Asks the Rashba, what do you mean? Even if we paskin like Shmuel, and the chicken, the bar guzla, is hot on top, and it's falling into dairy tzonin, The tata gavur should not dictate that there's no heat here because the bottom one is sonin. Because once the chicken, the hot chicken, falls into the dairy dip, it'll become submerged into the dip. And mimela, the basar cham, the bar guzla, is going to be on the bottom of the bowl. And once it's on the bottom of the bowl, it flips statuses. Now the bottom one is the cham, and the top one, the dairy, is the tzonin. So this should be equivalent to tzonin on top of cham. So even if he's Shmuel, why is the Gemara telling us it should be a klipa? This should be a classic case of tzonin l'toch cham, because once the bar guzla falls all the way down to the bottom and sinks to the below, you have hot piece of chicken under kudach, under milk. And the hot one should be gover, and it should be bolei bekulo. It should be classic tata gavar, cham. That's the Rashba's kasha. Now, if you work with the Isser B'Heter, and the Isser B'Heter, Lishi Tasei, says this, this is a bomb kasha. The Isser B'Heter would taka say, it'll aster it bekula, because all the Isser B'Heter cares about is that the bottom one is on the bottom. If it's hot, heat rises, or the dairy kutach applies pressure onto it. So the Isser B'Heter says, taka, in this case, it would be bekula, because the Isser B'Heter is Lishi Tasei. All we care about is for heat to rise, Lefi explanation 1, or for the pressure to be applied onto it, Lefi explanation 2. And you have that here. You have the basar cham on the bottom being either rising its heat or the chalav going onto it and applying pressure onto it. And the Isser B'Heter paskins that way. And because of that, the Isser B'Heter says, Hagadah Simonio says, that the Isser B'Heter has to reread the Gemara in a different way. He reads the Gemara in a completely different way than the Rashba. The Rashba, though, is bothered by this kasha, and he does not reread the Gemara. The Rashba introduces a new feature in order to explain this halacha. Says the Rashba, Shmuel's halacha of tata gavar is not predicated on heat rising or pressure being applied to the bottom and releasing its temperature. Nothing to do with that. Rather, Shmuel's halacha, generally speaking, the tachton is always the one that is stationary. The tachton piece, whenever you have a tachton, it's usually the one that is stationary. So Shmuel is telling you that whenever you have an elyon that is going on top of a tachton, the stationary item is the one that's gover. The tata, which is symptomatic of the fact that it's stationary, that's the one that's going to have the nitzachon, right? That's what you said, Avi, in Beis Medrash. So therefore, in this case, says the Rashba, I answer my kasha. It's true, the basar cham, the bar guzla, is falling into the dairy dip. And it's true that ultimately it will go to the bottom. But at the end of the day, which one of these entities was stationary? The chalav was the one that was stationary. The chalav never moved. The chalav, the dairy dip, was the one that never moved. And therefore, which one is the netzeach? The chalav. And the temperature of the chalav is tzonin. So since chalav is tzonin, and that's the one that's tata, because that's the one that's stationary, it'll be a case of cham onto tzonin, which is not the requisite heat, and you don't have kula.
Can we say that one more time?
Sure. The Rashba, in order to answer his question, says, again, if you recall, Isser B'Heter, would taka have to say it's the kula here? Because according to the Isser B'Heter, it's about heat rising or pressure being applied to the bottom. So once the basher gets to the bottom, it should asher bikulo, and that's exactly what he says. He paskins in this case that it goes bikulo. If you looked it up, he says it goes bikulo. But he rereads the Gemara. The Rashba does not suffice for that, and he doesn't reread the Gemara. He introduces a new feature. Says the Rashba, Shmuel's halacha is not based on heat rising, pressure applying. Rather, Shmuel's halacha is predicated on the tata being stationary. The reason why tata is always gover is because it's the one that is usually stationary. And when you put a piece of meat onto a stationary item, the stationary item is the one that has the nitzachon, that's the one that dominates. So in this case, although it's true the basar ended up on the bottom, so tata gover should say the other way, no, since the chalav was the one that was stationary, it remains the tata no matter what happens. And since the chalav was stationary and cold, this is a case of cham onto tzonin, which doesn't have the requisite heat.
When it gets to the bottom, it's stationary.
No, but this was the original stationary one. This wasn't transient. Whatever is transient is weak. Whatever is stationary is chazak. It's gover. Stationary. Mashenking, transient, something that's flippant, something that is wishy-washy, to use a different word, but something that's transient, that is has less of a koach. Yes,
it's there. It could be a kind of answer to it, but Just because something's stationary, so why does that...
This is just facts. Just facts.
Yeah, why question?
Good question. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's dig a little deeper. So in summation, Yosef, Beit Yosef, we have the following. We have the following setup, just to put it all together. We discussed three ofanim so far. Sonim b'tzonim, hadacha. Cham b'cham, b'kulo. A clash, machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav says we always go baser the ilah, the upper elyon entity, and whatever that status it has, that will dominate. Shmuel says we go by Tata. Within Shmuel, we have two approaches. Lefi the Isser v'Heter, he gives two explanations for why Tata is unique. Says the Isser v'Heter, heat rises or pressure is applied. Mashiachin, approach number two, the Rashba within Shmuel holds that Tata is dominant because of it being stationary. That was everything in 1 minute. Okay? Now let's go a little bit deeper. It's hard to go deeper in these things. So the question is, at least we're going to be formulate this machlokas. That's at the very least, yes, Clapper.
So wait, just to clarify, the Rashba, what if the liquid
we'll get to that.
So it's like shallow liquid.
Then it's the top.
Because
yeah.
It's moving.
Right, because it's moving. Right. Settled. If it's just shallow, then it's not going under. His kasha wouldn't start. So now, comes along the Achronim, and they ask a fundamental kasha, which I have to give credit to Shia, has been asking this for a good year and a month.
And I've been quoting Tzadiches as my
and Tzadiches, yes.
So, okay.
So, come along the Achronim, and they ask the following question. This is found in the Aruch HaShulchan, Sifches, Sifyod. That's the one I quoted because he's the clearest. The Noda Behuda and Simcha Ches also asks this kasha. The place he asks this kasha. Prima Gadin asks this kasha. This is a very fundamental kasha, a basic kasha that you can ask on Shmuel and Rav. The whole sugya of Rav and Shmuel. Sadi Zachonim. It's going to be a preliminary insight, and based on this preliminary insight, we're going to formulate the machlokas. If you don't understand the preliminary insight, you'll still come out with the formulation and we'll discuss the preliminary insight afterwards. But just let's try to get the preliminary insight, and based on that, we'll try to formulate the machlokas, just what each shita is holding. So Sadi Zachonim the following. They ask the basic kasha. How can Rav and Shmuel have a machlokas ilah gavar tata gavar? We have a basic halacha in Siman Tzadiches that whenever you are misupak as to whether or not you have shishim against your bliyas of Isser, you can either use shishim. If you can't measure shishim, then just give it to a guy and he'll taste it for you and see if there's discernible taste. If there's no discernible taste, there's no tam kikr, there's no bliyas, no issue. If he tastes something, then it's aser. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, say all these achronim. What's Rav and Shmuel arguing about? In this case of ilah gavar and tata gavar, you're not sure which one is menatzeach to say whether or not bli is transfer. Give it to a guy, and he'll tell you whether the bli is transferred because the top one was elyon cham or the bottom one was cham. He'll tell you exactly. He'll assess it for you himself. And says the Noda Behuda and Aruch HaShulchan, maybe you'll tell me the chitema. Rav and Shmuel are only discussing a case where there is no kfela available. Or we're only talking about a case where it's mindamino and a kfela is inoperative because he can't taste anything anyway. Maybe Rav and Shmuel is a very literal, like a small machlokas when there's no kfela available. So says the Noda Behuda, that's a silly question because what do you mean? Let's do an experiment. In general, let's take 100 gayin with mindamino mino, do tata gavar, ilah gavar, and all the different scenarios. Let's test it out. Whatever is the row, whatever is the most percentage, we'll go with that. And we'll determine forever, ever, whether ilah gavar or tata gavar. What's this machlokas Rav and Shmuel? What are they arguing about? Just give it to a guy or have an experiment. Have a stat. And we'll just follow the stat. The row. What is Rav and Shmuel arguing about? Is it Metzias machlokas? That's the Aruch HaShulchan's question. So the Aruch HaShulchan says the following fundamental yesod, which can probably be opened up to other places in Tarovis and Basul Chalav. And I'm going to add a little bit of amkus to what he's saying because he doesn't really finish off what he's saying. But after speaking to many Lamdanim in the tri-state area, just one or two, this is what he's saying. So the Aruch HaShulchan says the following. You're misunderstanding the role of Kfela. The role of a guy to taste whether or not there is tam or not is only a secondary afterthought, after Chazal already established principles of Havaras Tam. Chazal have to establish what arrangements, what assessments, what scenarios allow for transfer of bliyas from one to the other. Once Chazal established certain principles, then you can now go to a guy to taste it to see if indeed you have sufficient content to mevatel those bliyas or not. Hold off. He gives an example. He gives a precedent. Kli sheni, for example. Many poskim, rov poskim hold that a kli sheni has no heat enough to transfer bliyas. Many poskim hold that way. A kli shlishi, all the poskim hold, has no capacity to transfer bliyas one to the other. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Hayitochein, if you give a Isser V'Heter, which is cooked in a kli sheni, or cooked in a kli shlishi, you give it to a guy. The guy says, ha, I taste Isser. You're going to now ask the Tarovis? No. Chazal said, kli sheni does not have the requisite heat. Kli shlishi doesn't have the requisite heat. The guy can jump from today to tomorrow. The fact that he tastes the tam is irrelevant. It's invalidated. It's disregarded. Chazal have to be koveya first, established principles, what is considered heat, or what is considered a scenario for bliyas to transfer. Now to add a little bit of beer to what he's saying. The MS, Rav and Shmuel could agree that there is some transfer of tam in both directions, whether you hold the log gover or tata gover. They both agree to the same mitzias. Bliyas are transferring, but that's not going to decide whether that's the halachic quality of tam that the Torah assert. The quality of tam that the Torah assert has to be determined by Chazal in terms of the echos of the tam. So Rav and Shmuel are arguing, in what scenario, ilah gavar, tata gavar, does the Torah say that the bliyas that were transferred is considered the quality of tam that the Torah assert? Rav says, ilah gavar, whenever the ilah is, let's say, hot, those bliyas that transfer, that qualifies as a halachic tam of the Torah asr. Shmuel says, tata gavar. Everyone agrees there's some diluted form of bliyas going back and forth. So you give it to a guy, the guy will taste it, that doesn't matter. Rav will tell you back that even if the bottom one was hot and you tasted bliyas on top, Rav will say, I don't care. That's not the quality of tam of the Torah asr. The Torah asr, tam al yidei, the elyon being cham. And Shmuel will tell you that Torah asr, the tachton being cham, and those bliyas that transfer is considered the quality of tam of the Torah aser. Kfela, the role of kfela is not a quality issue. The role of kfela, the role of an akum, is a quantity issue. Once you have the established principle that this is considered quality tam that the Torah asered, now the guy can tell you, do you have enough tam, enough hetter to mevatel that halachic tam that the Torah asered? So he'll tell you, if I taste it, then enacharami, you don't have enough heter. If you don't taste it, then you do have enough heter to mevatel the tam. But in terms of what Rav and Shmuel are arguing about, they're arguing about what bliyas that are transferred qualifies as the halachic tam. And so based on that, that's whatever Chazal were koveya. Chazal have to be koveya which bliyas the Torah was makbid on. This is a very abstract idea. It's not based on the mitzias of tasting bliyas. It has to be al yidei, a specific method of chom that the Torah decided these bliyas are the bliyas that are going to aser. So now, once we say that the Torah has to koveya, the Chazal have to be koveya, lifi kabbalas Chazal, which tam is qualified as quality tam to aser, Rav and Shmuel have their respective machlokas, which feature do we operate with to assess this halacha? And we're going to formulate it as follows. This is the second step. Rav holds that we assess halacha uses positioning. We operate by position. And since, objectively speaking, the elyon, in terms of the perspective of position, is always defined objectively as the upper dog, it's the upper minatzeah. It's always, whatever is on top of something, the upper one is always considered objectively as the dominant perspective. So says Rav, whatever is on top is koveya. The elyon, if you operate with position, the elyon is koveya. Because objectively, the elyon is always considered the top. Comes along Shmuel, if he the Isser V'Heter, which is approach one, says no, we don't operate, halacha doesn't use positioning, halacha uses the interplay, the interposition between the elyon and the tachton. And we have to take into account the point of contact. the interposition, the interplay, the interaction between the Elyon and the Tachton. So it says Shmuel, the Fi the Isser Veheter, either Tom 1 or Tom 2, once we're taking into account the point of contact, the interplay, the interposition, so Isser Veheter says, Teva of Chom is to rise. So we have to take that into account. So the Tachton will win. Or the Fi Tam number 2, the Fi the Isser Veheter. The pressure that is applied to the Tachton releases the temperature. We have to take that into account because these are two features that operate with the interplay, with the interaction between the Elyon and the Tachton. Masha'enke, let me just finish. The Fi the Rashba, the Fi the Rashba, Shmuel is operating not by position like Rav, not like interposition or interaction like Shmuel, Lefias, or Heter. The Rashba operates with stability. Whatever is considered the stable item, that's going to be the koveya of what is Menatzeach. So says Shmuel, Lefias, the Rashba, whatever is stationary is the one that has the stable temperature. That stability of that temperature, whether it's heat or whether it's cold, is going to be koveya whether or not you have the requisite heat in this scenario. So just to summarize what we did, and then I'll take the thousands of questions that you all have. To summarize what we just did, we did a preliminary insight from the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is telling us that we can't use kfeilos when it comes to Tata Gavar or Yila Gavar, because that's not a question of quality of time. That's a question of how much heter you have against the Isser. We have to first decide, Al Pi Chazal, Kabbalah's Chazal, what are the scenarios in which the Torah asered these bliyas that were transferred? Which methods and scenarios does the Torah say that qualifies as the tam that asers based on tam ke'ikar? And now that we have to establish it based on Kabbalah's Chazal, we're giving three different ways that Chazal chose to assess which bliyas are aser. The Fi Rav, we go based on position, which allows us to always go with the Elyon, because positioning, objectively, is always the upper one. The Fi Shmuel, the Fi Nisar Heter, it's because of, we operate based on interposition, the interaction between the two, and therefore we take into account these features of the Teva of Chum to go up, the pressure being applied. These are all features that relate to the point of contact between the two. And the third one, the Rashba, the Fi Shmuel, the Fi the Rashba, is holding that we don't operate with any of those two things. Rather, we operate with what's stable. What entity is the stable entity that will supply either the heat or the coolness in the situation? Go, Shia. I'm taking my cook. No questions. Okay, next.
I have a question.
Yes, great.
I'll just...
Yes, great.
It's not really like a why Ronan chose. Not actually like why Ronan chose like
this position. Why? I can't say why.
It's just more.
Chazal have to be koveya. We're just defining what they're being. What are they using? What wavelength are they using?
We're defining like which interaction between things. Which, like,
which what?
When you interact with different things, how does like come out of the
end of that? Correct. So what? Why? We can't say why. That's a scrub. You say what? You don't say.
No, I'm saying it sounds like from the beginning. It sounds like the raise originally doesn't say why. It's saying we choose the bottom. Why
did you why? It was just a way of speaking. You're right. That's a bad
word.
No, you're right. Isser Veheter is giving the tamim for the feature that is pronounced on the bottom.
You could ask a what question by saying why. You could also ask a why question by saying
why. Yeah, it's very complicated.
Why.
You have to just know which one
it is. You have to know which one it is. Yeah,
left.
Me and Gilad, it took us months to figure that out. We finally had it.
Yeah,
me and Gilad now we're playing.
Can I just explain again why you're in the same position the upper one goes to the...
Because objectively speaking, you ever see a wrestling match? No.
That's
objective. Objectively speaking, the top one is always the one that is considered dominant over the bottom one. That's just how... That's always... That's objective. That's objective. That's a perspective of objectivity. That's not you don't have to make any numbers. If you tell me that, no, the bottom one is supporting it, then you're not taking into account... You're taking into account support. That's another nikuda. If you're looking just in terms of position, the upper one is always objectively considered...
Relative to the one...
It's Menatzeach.
Isn't that interplay?
No, interplay is the point of contact. That takes into account Cham going up, pressure being applied. That's the point of contact. What is in terms of the point of contact? In terms of just position, if you have to choose in terms of position, just position, which one is considered the dominant position, the upper one is always the dominant position. Yes?
Is there a minimum weight that it has to be to...
That's a good question. I don't know. We see even by Chalav it works, right? Chalav going on Busser counts as some kind of weight. It's kind of pressure. Yeah.
What would be the role of the Kfeilah, like, in he's actually ascertaining, like, he's tasting a Tarovis? How do we explain what a Kfeilah is doing there when he's tasting? He wants to taste Tam.
I read after we already had established principles that the Tam went through when it was Halachic Tam?
quantity of meat.
He's just telling you, right. Do you have enough heter to nevatel that tam or not?
So the first step is always whether
you have the quality of tam that the Torah asks it, the eichos tam. The second step is, well, now that I have the eichos tam, well, do I have enough heter to nevatel it? So the kfeila can do that. He can tell you, is it discernible or not discernible? That's just a question of quantity, not a question of. He can't tell you. The halacha tells you that this is considered bad time. What do you mean? He's teaching the same thing. Yeah, but I want to keep going. But go ahead. We can try. I want to make sure we finish. This way you can understand.
How does the Rashba understand the position of Rav?
No, everyone agrees to Rav. Rav is operating based on position. They have 2 days in Shmuel.
Oh, everyone agrees to that?
Yeah. They're arguing within Shmuel. Okay. That always how it is. You have one sheet, and then the arguer has either two ways of arguing with the bar plukta.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so here we go. So now let's bring this home a little bit. We have the Chacham Ben Tzion Abishul coming up soon, also Bet Yosef. So we have to. So we have to do this. Oh no, not okay. Fine. So now. Okay. So now, bottom line is we paskin like Shmuel. Rashi in Psachim Ayin Vav Ben Aleph, Rabbeinu Chananya, Divrei Maaseh Tanya and Psachim also say we all pass like Shmuel, although that is against the Klali Apsak. Why is that against the Klali Apsak, anyone? Rabbi Suri says Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananya we pass like Shmuel because if you look at the Psachim later on, Shia, if you looked it up, the later on the Gemara says, I love you, Shia, you know that. Says the Gemara later on, it brings two brises to corroborate Shita Shmuel. So if the Gemara goes out of its way to give two brises to corroborate Shita Shmuel, then we have to pass like Shmuel, even though it's Be'isr V'Heter. Okay, so we pass like Shmuel. So are there any nafkaminas between Shmuel, Lefi, the Be'isr V'Heter, and the Rashba? We have two visions in the Shita Shmuel. Shita Shmuel. Are there any nafkaminas between these two Mahalchim in Shmuel? Lefi, the Be'isr V'Heter. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's, I want another nafkamina. A second nafkamina. Is there a second nafkamina between the Be'isr V'Heter and... That's always a shy I have. Is the original machlokas considered an afkamina, or is that just a machlokas?
What was the case?
Okay, fine. Okay, so now, are there any afkaminas? Again, the fila isra v'heter, we operate based on the bottom piece having the heat go up or pressure applied. It's all based on the bottom piece. Mashenki, the Rashba, is focusing more on the stationary, the fact that the tata is stationary and is a stable heat, the fila formulation. So are there any afkaminas? So the most basic afkamina, if you think about it, we did all the scenarios. We did Sonin and Sonin, Kham and Kham. We did Kham and Sonin, Sonin and Kham. The only other scenario that's left is side by side. We never discussed side by side. What's the halacha if you have Kham, Nafkamina, Zeh, Tal, Zeh, Kham and Sonin side by side? What would be the halacha in that situation? So the Chavos Das and other Achronim say that this should be Tali on the two ways for how to understand Shita Shmuel, Lefi the Issa the Heter, or Lefi the Rashba. Anybody want to try? Yes, we'll get. What do you mean? Yes, but
in
Kofei, yes, we'll leave that out for now. That's Psak Halacha. But right now, just in academic, in Sugya, Lefi the Issa v'Heter, Lefi the Rashba. What would they say in a side by side situation of Khan and Sony? No? Yeah? Issa v'Heter, what would Issa v'Heter say?
Issa v'Heter, the Chayyim would say that it's fine or almost fine because.
Do you have heat or do you not have heat? Do you have heat or no heat?
I wouldn't have heat.
What?
You have heat, but heat rises.
No.
So
do you have heat in this scenario for Blias to transfer?
No.
No.
Don't sign it, sign it, sign
it. Yeah. No. Kham and sign it. Why? Because...
They're both heat.
Lefi the Rashba, Lefi the Issa v'Heter, Lefi the Issa v'Heter, and under all circumstances, Lefi the Issa v'Heter, you will never have heat because the Kham is rising over here. It's not helping you over here. And indeed, the Issa v'Heter in the very next claw, paskins that way. Zeh etzel zeh. Has no blias transferring bikulo, it goes biklipa because that's other mikula, but there's no blias bikulo because Kham and Soni, there is no, neither pshat of Issa v'Heter will allow you to have blias transferring. If you go with the tzad of Teva Chom to go up, it goes up over here, it doesn't have to give you any heat to the side. And if you go with the Kovid Hatachton, the pressure being applied, there's no pressure being applied onto the Kham. It's side by side. So no matter what, side by side will never supply you with the requisite heat.
Yeah,
that was Kham. Yeah, that was this case. We're not talking about that case.
Kham.
Yeah, no problem. It works.
Yeah. We still transfer?
Yeah, of course, it's chatam. Everything's chatam. There's no clash. This whole discussion is clash.
Oh, meaning now that it needs to get heat.
Yeah. We need heat, yes. Oh, but now the fee, the Rashba, the fee that's ever had to, under all circumstances, there's no cold. But the fee, the Rashba, there will be a situation where there would be heat. It's true. If the cold one was there first, and then you brought the Cham and it got over there, it somehow situated itself next to the Tzonin, the Tzonin was stationary, you're right. That would be no different than this, or had to, there'd be no heat. But if the Cham was there, or if it was simultaneous, but if the Cham was there first, and it's stable, and it's a stationary one, so that would come out, it says the Chavaz Das, that if you put Tzonin next to a stationary item of Cham, side by side, you will have Blias transferring. So it's not categorical that there's no Blias transferring. There will be a situation, which is a nafkamina between this and Hefter, where you have the Cham there first, and then you put the Tzonin. The Fee, this and Hefter, nothing doing. But the Fee, the Rashba, since the Cham was there first, it's stable, it's stationary, that will supply the heat for the Tzonin that comes second to it. That would be a nafkamina, says the Chavaz Das, between this and Hefter and the Rashba, the Fee, Shittas, Shmuel.
I don't know if we should go back again to the Pesach Halacha, but it's Tali time over there about the Isser's high or the Heter's high.
What? Tali what?
It's Tali on when the Isser's high or the Heter's the hot one there.
That's no. That's a different discussion of Malicha. We'll get to that soon. No. Okay, fine. That's not the mina between the two. Let's just finish off with two Pesach Halacha and applications. Yes, Joseph. Good. Okay, listen. Okay. It's getting hot in here. Whew. Okay. Okay, Pesach Halacha. So, in terms of how we paskin like Shmuel, Tatal Gaba, Rashi, and Rabbeinu Chanan, we just quoted, says that although we paskin like Rav, Ve'asiri, we paskin like Shmuel here because of the two braces that corroborate Shmuel. The Torah brings down in Tzadi Aleph Aleph to paskin like Shmuel, Beis Yosef, paskins, and Haskamat Kol HaPoskim, is to paskin like Shmuel, and that flows into the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah in Tzadi Aleph Dalet, and in Kofei Gimel, but in Tzadi Aleph Dalet for us, that we pass in like Shmuel, Tata, Gavar. Therefore, one application of Tata, Gavar, the Sefer Hilchos Basar B'Cholav, which is Rav Hofstadter's son, brings down that a very common situation is, let's say you have schnitzel, hot schnitzel that you're taking off the fire, or a hot kedera you're taking off the fire, and you put it onto a milchik countertop. How did it become milchik? You poured hot milk from a kli rishon onto the milchik countertop. Some people have milchik countertops, not like milchik countertops, but really milchik countertops. They actually have bliyas of milk in the shayish, in the countertop. Shayish is an Israeli word, Hebrew word for counter. Shayish. So, what is the halacha in this situation? So, says the Sefer Hilchos Basar B'Cholav, since we paskin like Shmuel, we operate with tata gavar, whether like the Isser Hefter or the Rashba. We go by the bottom. So if you have, let's say, a schnitzel chama, which we're viewing as a kli rishon right now, based on the halachas of Dover Gush, but even, let's say, the keder chama that you took off of the fire, it's a kli rishon, that's the cham, that's the elyon, you're putting it onto a shayish, which is kar, so there won't be a full transfer of bliyas, because the tachton is cold, it's going to be mitzanin, the top, whether it's because of heat not rising, because the heat's on the top, or because of it's being stationary. Either way, Tata Gavar will dictate that there won't be a full transfer of Blias. There may be a klipa, because of, again, the Adar Mekala Bala Klipa, we always say there's always a klipa that goes through, even if you don't have heat. But in terms of a full transfer, there will not be a full transfer, which is very significant, because even though the klipa will have, you will have to kashen the milk and countertop, because a klipa did get through, but it didn't go through all the way, because it's only a klipa, you would be allowed to, let's say, be magil, the shayish, with Iyuri Kli Rishon, which takes off that initial klipa. But that's all because you hold at Shmuel that there wasn't a full transfer of bliyas into the countertop, not back to the schnitzel either. At most, the schnitzel will only need a klipa to be taken off because there was no tata gavar. If there was heat, then the whole schnitzel will be out. But because tata gavar says the bottom one is cold and there's no heat here, that most you'll have to take off is a klipa, unless it's an Eina Benyomo, then nothing you'll take off anything. Yeah?
The amount of heat has to have the schnitzel, I know it's a side point.
What?
How hot does the schnitzel
need to be? Yatzel Lettuce Bo.
Yatzel Lettuce Bo?
Yatzel Lettuce Bo. Everything has to be Yatzel Lettuce Bo. Yes?
When you say the most you have to do is the intake
klipa. Klipa, yeah. Thinnest most layer.
You mean you need to do it to take klipa?
If it's a benyomo, if the shayish, if the milk the countertop was a benyomo, then you would have to. If it wasn't, then you would have to.
He's saying practically, yeah, you
you have to take off a klipa?
You got to take off a klipa. It's a ben yomo. Usually it's not a ben yomo. No, he says there's a little bit of retivas. He says there's a little bit of retivas.
What, on the counters?
Yeah, maybe he's talking about a case where there's a little bit of retivas. Otherwise, you're right. Then there'd be nothing. It'd be zero. Okay.
I mean, if it's a clean countertop, that's the discussion we're talking about.
I'm talking about clean right now. Everything's clean. Yeah, clean countertop.
What was the question?
He was asking how the blias get out. By the way, you don't need retivas for a cleat to be motzi its blias. That's only by ochel. Yeah, that's a better answer to your question. We'll discuss it afterwards. That's a side question. Yeah, okay. Bottom line is, just to keep it simple, hot schnitzel being put onto a cold countertop, a milk countertop, Tatal Gavar dictates that there's cold here, there's no full transfer of blias. At most, there will be is a klipa. If the milchik countertop is shayish, is ben yomo, you would have to get klipa off of the schnitzel. But if it's in a ben yomo, nothing happened. Nothing happened because it's all cold and it's in a ben yomo and you have to take off anything. Okay, now comes the second practical application. How do we paskin in terms of Isser Heter or the Rashba? So this is a little bit of a conflicting marakomos. The Raman Kufei Gimel brings down side by side and he paskins that it's not, does not supply heat. And it sounds like the based on the Achronim, the Nosei Kehilah, he paskins like the Isser Heter. However, the Shach brings down the Shitas HaRashba. So the Shach seems to be tilting more towards the Shitas HaRashba. In one of his terutzim, he brings down the Shitas HaRashba. So the Shach may hold like the Rashba. The Ramah paskins seemingly like the Isser Heter. The Shach holds like the Rashba. He has three terutzim. So this is very relevant for solar water heaters. Why is this relevant for solar water heaters? Chacham ben Tzion Abashul was asked the following question. Classic Shaila on Shabbos. This is reported from Melech HaShabbos. By Melech HaShabbos, we know that if you turn on the hot water tap from the sink, you are now causing the water heater in your basement to release hot water to your sink. And because of that, cold water goes directly into the water heater, which is a Kli Rishon on the fire, being cooked on Shabbos. You're not allowed to turn on the hot water on Shabbos. That's all in America, where our water heaters are all electric. So you have a full Bishul D'oraisa, it's Ayidei Grama, but it's Grama still Asur Midrabanan, and this is Bishul D'oraisa Ayidei Eish. So you can't do it. But Chacham ben Tzion Abashul was asked, what about in Eretz Yisrael? In Eretz Yisrael, the way the water heaters work is not through electric, they're much smarter than us. They use solar panels, they use solar water heaters. Everything is solar, at least most, I don't know about it. Most places are solar. Called a, anybody know what it's called?
Dut Shemesh.
Whoa, okay. Dut Shemesh. We're really identifying with Eretz Yisrael. Dut Shemesh. Very good. So, the way Dut Shemesh works is that it's not in your basement. There's no basement in Eretz Yisrael. Dut Shemesh is on the roof. So now, how does Dut Shemesh work? There's some kind of pipe that brings in the cold water to the Dut Shemesh up to the top. And the Dut Shemesh has solar panels and it absorbs the heat of the sun, it contains it in the heating element, and it heats up the water that is coming up from the cold water that's coming into that water heater. So says the Chacham ben Tzion Abashul that this is a little bit different than America. We have more mitigating considerations to maybe matir. And he gives three mitigating considerations for why a solar water heater in Eretz Yisrael, Dut Shemesh, would have a more likelihood to be mutter. And he passes like that, Mikar Adin, it's mutter. Even Ravadi Paskins, it's Mutter Mikar Adin, Tavol Lava Bracha, but he says Mutter Mikar Adin, and Rasi Pesach Frank, Rasak's great grandfather, also Paskins, Mikar Adin, like the Chacham ben Tzion Abashul, that it's Mutter. What are his three mitigating considerations? So the first one is the one we just mentioned. This is not a Din Dil Raisa, because it's only Ayidei Grama. So that knocks it down to a Derabanan. That's not different than America yet. What's the second mitigating consideration? Well, it's not told us ha'esh. In America, it's through esh. It's through electric water heater. That's esh. That's d'oraisa. But chama told us ha'chama, it's the word of the Gemara in Shabbos, and then, is only a din derabanan. Told us ha'chama is only a din derabanan. Any derivative of heat that comes from the sun is only an isa derabanan. So says the Chacham ben Tzion Abashul, you have trade derabanan. You already downgraded it on two accounts. And number three, that's why we're bringing it up here, like, okay, you should talk about Shabbos. Aruch L'Ner Shabbos. But number three is Tatal Gavar. Maybe we can apply the principle of Tatal Gavar. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, the Dut Shemesh is on the roof. the cold water is coming from the bottom. So maybe we should argue, based on the Issur v'Heter, that if the bottom one is cold, the cold water is streaming into the water heater, that should say that we don't have heat in the situation because the bottom one is the tata, is cold. There is no heat. Lefi the Rashba, he says, maybe not, because the hot water is stationary, so you don't have it. But he gives a little bit of a svar, which we're not going to get into right now, why even Lefi the Rashba, he'd be masking. But he starts off, his starting analysis is that Lefi the Issur v'Heter, for sure you have to talk gavar, it's cold. Lefi the Rashba, yesh lodan, he says. Atkan, good Shabbos.
I think we're about to get a good shot. I forgot what he gives up. He quotes the...
What?
I'm going to say, Rabbi Omer, the Rabbi is going to give a good shot for why he mocked his water heaters.
He says there...
He does give a good shot.